there's a really clear contrast in this race, and that's good because I think voters want to know what the differences are, and they're hearing them loud and clear.
Absolutely. And you kind of touched a little bit on it there. What would be some immediate effective steps that you could take if you win? What are some immediate effective steps that you could take that would see some fairly good results as far as easing some of the tax burdens or making it lighter? What are there's maybe some things we can do away with or change?
Absolutely. I mean, we need to reduce the regulatory burden on businesses of all sizes, but especially small companies. We do that to begin with by putting new people in charge of all the regulatory agencies. That's supposed to happen anyway when you get a new governor. The whole point of electing someone new is you change. Bring in new people. Here's the difference. I'm going to bring in people from the private sector. I'm going to bring people in who know what it's like to be on the receiving end of the taxes, the regulations, and all the rest of it. I think that's crucial because these folks need to have a sensitivity to the burdens government places on job creators and on their employees. What we've been seeing instead is after 28 years of one-party control in Olympia, the same people recycled over and over again running these agencies year in and year out, very few of whom have ever spent a day outside of government in their employment lives. If you want a representative government, you've got to have people who actually have had the kinds of experiences you've had as a small business owner, as the employee of a small company. You need that kind of experience, and that's the first thing we're going to do to bring the change that we desperately need there.
Well, actually, what they'll find, too, and I've heard this applied nationally in different scenarios, is that the government actually gets more tax revenue. The more people you have working, the healthier economy. If you back off the taxes a little bit, it's kind of like volume dealing. You know, you can make as much money, if not more, if you sell something at a lower price.
Exactly.
And if you put a lot of people back to work, you get a lot more money coming in, even if it's a little lower rate, and you actually end up with more disposable income.
You know, that's exactly right. I'll give you a specific example of that. It's the fact that we've got 500,000 people in the state today who are eligible for Medicaid and aren't on Medicaid. They are not on Medicaid, and over 80% of them, or actually just under 80% of them, have some sort of private coverage through their employer. And yet now we have a new federal law that's going to make it a lot more expensive for employers to provide health insurance for their employees. That's going to drive more people on Medicaid. The former congressman I'm running against keeps bragging about the fact that he passed a bill, helped pass a bill, the federal health care law, that will make 1 in 3 Washington residents eligible for Medicaid. I don't understand why our preferred future is for 1 out of 3 Americans in our state, that 1 out of 3 Washingtonians, to be on Medicaid. Especially when, you know, 80% of the people who are already eligible who choose not to be on Medicaid have some sort of private coverage. Isn't it better for people to own insurance than to be on welfare? So again, very clear contrast.
Well, and plus the fact, and this might be a whole different discussion, but with the health care bill, they find that as in other countries with socialized medicine, because of the burden you're putting on it versus the reward and the resources, you find the quality of care actually goes down.
Well, as soon as you start subjecting health care to federal state budgets, as soon as the hospitals and doctors are employees of the government, which is the way it works in England and elsewhere, which is which is what my opponent's party wants to do. As soon as you move there, of course, then it starts getting cut because they've got to balance budgets. They can't control costs adequately. So people have to wait longer and longer to get their health care. Or you can consider Canada, where you've got a single-payer system. The State Democratic Party declared when Obamacare was adopted in Congress, this is just the first steps towards single-payer. They want to take away your insurance choices, just like the health insurance mandate, which we took to the Supreme Court and challenged, takes away your insurance choices. Because it's not just a tax on you if you don't have insurance. It's a tax on you if you don't have whatever kind of insurance federal bureaucrats tell you you have to have.
That you're supposed to have. Yeah, I was following that closely, and that was rather interesting. The arguments that were being made, can the government, you know, essentially force you into a dealing?
Well, can they force you to buy a product you were choosing not to buy? That's the whole issue of whether you could choose to self-insure or not. But in addition to that, it isn't just whether you have some insurance. You have to have whatever insurance they tell you to have. And that's the part of the story that a lot of folks didn't pick up on until we were in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, because a lot of people are different and have different healthcare needs.
Right.
And I would also think, too, that not just with state business, but when it comes to insurance, the more competition
right.
and more choices you have, the more lively the economy is going to be. Because when there are a bunch of different businesses competing for someone's goods and services, they're going to price it more competitively, and it's going to be more affordable.
That's exactly right. We want more competition, more choices for consumers. What we really need is a national market for health insurance instead of a state-by-state market. Mm-hmm. And you'll know we've gotten there if we ever do, because you'll see the gecko on television trying to sell you health insurance. You know, and you think about it, you can buy any other kind of insurance in a national market. Mm-hmm. You can go online this afternoon. You can pretty much custom tailor your auto insurance, mm-hmm. your life insurance, your property insurance,
exactly.
but not your health insurance. That's the one type of insurance which is so heavily regulated that you have fewer choices, fewer options, and they're going to get fewer and narrower going forward because the leaders we have in state government today and their party and friends want to take us to a single payer system where the government is the source of your health care coverage.
Now, as governor, how much would we be able to do some things within the state of Washington, despite the federal laws, of course? Are there things that can be done in Washington state to make it a little bit easier for people
area? I think we can get there at least part of the way there by reducing the number of regulations we place on insurance products so that consumers have more choices. This isn't about giving the insurance company some sort of break. It's about giving consumers more products from which to choose. It's about creating a more robust market instead of narrowing consumer choices. We could enact tort reform that would reduce the cost of defensive medicine and help bring down the cost of health insurance. You know, doctors live in fear of being sued. That's because they get sued so often.
Mm-hmm.
No, if something bad happens involving healthcare, someone's got to pay, right? So there's got to be a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And we have a very, very difficult climate for doctors in our state for that reason. So there are a number of reforms that we could enact that by enacting them would help every consumer have more choices of products that fit their own needs and their budgets.
Well, you can't help but turn on TV and see that at certain channels on television. Every time you turn around, were you wronged with this or wronged for that? And I immediately think to myself, tort reform.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, we appreciate you coming down and spending a few moments with us today. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in November. And what we would like to do, give us some information about where, if people want to find out more about your campaign, exactly where can they go?
They can go to our website, robmckenna.org, and on that front page, you'll see a box that says counties. If you click on that, there's a pull-down menu, and you can click on Benton County, Franklin County, any county in the state you happen to be from, and you can find out how to get involved in the campaign. But also, you can read our white papers on a range of topics like job creation, education reform, and the rest, so you can find out in detail what I'm proposing for our state. And I ask everyone to take the time to become informed, register to vote by October 7th if you're not already, and for Pete's sake, vote.
Absolutely.
You know, Republican candidates win in this state when we get a good turnout in Eastern Washington, and they lose when we don't. So
yes.
If folks within the sound of our voices today, John, will be sure not only to vote themselves, but to make sure their kids are voting, their grandkids, if they're that age. Get people out to vote. No one has an excuse for not voting. We don't ask very much of our citizens for the right of citizenship, but becoming informed and casting a vote is the core or the basic responsibility.
That is absolutely correct, and you need to be educated. Spend a few minutes, find out what the issues are, and vote for what you believe in.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us here. We hope to talk to you soon on News Talk 870.
Look forward to it, John. Thanks so much.